Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's hour number three of the nation. We're going to get Bobby Corella, All City Dallas, here in just a second, talking Mavs with him. We go to the Twitter account of one Jane Slater. She says, one thing to watch following Jerry in the discussions with Dion, two people with knowledge tell me Sanders approached Colorado AD Rick George Tuesday about additional money for NIL and his staff. He was met with resistance. University of Colorado would neither confirm or deny the information when I reached out, says Jane. Dion didn't respond when reached multiple times for comment. Okay, so plot thickens a little bit there. Again, our lead story, if you go back to 3 o'clock, was that Jerry enamored with Dion and that Dion would take the job if it was offered. That was the tweet from a longtime Cowboys insider and reporter, Ed Werder. As Bobby Corella, All City, joins you now here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon to you, sir. How the heck are you?
I am reeling after the last few days, gentlemen. I'm not going to lie. It's been tough.
22-19, losers of 8 of 10. What is your Mavericks nightmare right now? Like, when you let your mind imagine, like, wow, how bad is this going to get? Where do you go?
My nightmare is kind of becoming a reality. You know, they've played about 2,000 minutes this season. Luka and Kyrie have been on the floor together for 501 minutes this season. So that is about 25% of the total basketball the Dallas Mavericks have played this season. Their two superstars have been on the court together. And luckily for them, other teams in the West have dealt with their own injuries or ineptitudes or whatever the case is. And so despite all of this injury absences and fights and late game meltdowns, Mavs are still right there, you know, in the picture to avoid the play-in, to make the top six. And, you know, if Kyrie Irving is back and didn't just miss last night's game for, you know, injury management, load management, whatever concerns, then they can string some wins together, hopefully hold things down until Luka comes back, and they're going to be just fine. But that's a huge if, because everything about this season seems cursed so far, and I'm starting to get a little – I'm starting to get sports sad. I don't know how else to say it. I'm just sad.
You know, I think Kyrie Irving is huge. I am Mavs depressed as well a little bit. I'm hoping for the best. But what do we know about Lively's ankle right now? Because I think that could be just as impactful as Kyrie as far as a path to victory.
I agree with you. I mean, he's so important to what they do on defense. And offensively, his game has taken such a step forward this season, passing the ball, turnaround hook shots, post moves, things like that. You know, Jason Kidd did not seem overly concerned the night that he did sprain his ankle. He said he's going to be out for a little bit. He's definitely not going to play the next game, but after that, we'll see. And in coach speak, that implies at least a little hint of optimism to me. Maybe he can play tomorrow against OKC. It would be great if he could, because OKC's big men are still out. And so maybe the Mavs can do some damage there. But you know, if not, they don't play again until Monday. And so hopefully, you know, a little bit of a layoff is able to, you know, get some ice on that thing and keep the swelling down. But, I mean, the real issue is, even if he is able to play, he's 7-1, 7-2. He's jumping for rebounds. He's jumping to block shots. He's going to be putting a lot of weight and stress on that ankle. And so hopefully it just is, whenever he does come back, it's able to hold up and not slow him down, because his athleticism, his springiness, his mobility is what makes him so effective. So I would much rather see him at 100% if it means missing the OKC game, as opposed to seeing him trot out there, you know, going 40 or 50% and just putting himself at risk of hurting it even worse or hurting something else because he's overcompensating.
Bobby, they only need to win about 19 or 20 more games most likely to be a play-in team. And as depressed as I am right now, just get me to mid-April in the tournament in some form or fashion, and I'll take it from there, right? I would love the Mavs' chances of surviving it well into May, maybe June even, in that scenario. That's not at risk, is it? They're not gonna go on such an extended losing stretch where we'll have to think about them not being over 500 at the end of the year, are they?
I don't think so. You know, they've had such a difficult stretch of schedule, not only in terms of travel, but also quality of opponents. And over the next 10 to 15-ish games, through basically Super Bowl Sunday, it's like February 6th, they play at Boston. And I think they have one more tough, maybe it's at Cleveland or at Philly or something right after that. And then they come back home. And from then on out, their schedule gets a whole lot easier. The worry, though, is that over these next 10 to 12 games, if Luka plays zero of them, and if Kyrie, I mean, even if Kyrie plays every single game, the quality of opponents that you're facing is so, so difficult that you could realistically, I mean, they've gone 3-9 in their last 12, and they haven't had a particularly tough stretch of schedule. They could go 3-9 again, and then all of a sudden you're 3 or 4 games under 500, and you're in a position where you have to win 70 or 80% of your games the rest of the year, just to avoid the play-in, maybe even just to make the play-in, depending on what else happens out west. I mean, I know teams are trying to load up at the deadline, but you know, there's a lot of teams that are in the thick of it right now. So hopefully they're able to play close to 500 ball over the next 2 or 3 weeks, however long it takes Luka to get back in the mix. And hopefully he's able to get back in the mix at some point within the next 2 or 3 weeks. When they're healthy, I mean, I've seen enough of them. They went 14-3 over 17 games whenever they were healthy. I think when they're healthy, they're still the second or third or maybe fourth best team in the NBA, and their strength of schedule gets a whole lot easier after the All-Star break. So hopefully they can stack some wins together at that point. But until then, they are going to be in survival mode for sure.
Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. To add to the frustration was the ending of last night's game. You have the NBA getting community noted with the Trey Murphy securing the victory for the New Orleans Pelicans there with his emphatic stuff off the backboard. It wasn't. It was goaltending. The league tells us now it was goaltending. What the hell, Bobby?
Dude, we just got lied to on the internet. Like, that is propaganda. You know, we were manipulated. We were gaslit. We were lied to. And I'm not going to take it anymore, all right? It was brutal. You know, it was a very, very bang-bang play. The official that is supposed to call goaltending calls it from kind of like reverse angle behind the play where you get a clear line of sight to the backboard. But it was such a chaotic sequence that there was no official there. And Gediminas Petritis is sitting right under the basket, but that's a really tough angle because there's rubber on the bottom of the backboard, so you can't even see the ball. So it's just a huge, huge blunder on the official's part, and there's nothing that can be done. There is.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing that can be done about it. The way that I'm coping personally is knowing the Mavs' luck. The Pelicans use their last timeout with 4.5 seconds left, down 1. They draw up a play. It goes awry, but someone gathers the ball 30 feet from the rim, just throws up some BS, and it goes in. And we're even more sad, you know. So that's how I'm coping right now. But unfortunately, the way the rules are set up, the way the review process and all the review process triggers are set up, It is impossible to do anything to review a non-goaltend call with a game on the line, which to me is insane. I mean, they review whether a guy stepped on a three-point line or whether a guy stepped out of bounds all the time, sometimes minutes later. An NBA game score will change sometimes 5 or 10 minutes later after they've had a chance to review. There was a sequence against the Nuggets a couple years ago where an entire halftime went by, and then they replayed the final couple seconds of the second quarter because Luka apparently, they found, stepped out of bounds 1 or 2 steps before making a three. So there are systems in place to do this the right way. The NBA just hasn't caught up yet. And hopefully, if Mavs fans muckrack enough and make enough noise, you know, some process will be put in place to where this never happens again. But in the meantime, all we have to hold on to is a big fat L.
Yeah, disappointing. The NBA on Twitter perpetuating butt cracks like that. It's disingenuous and it's a disaster. Mm. Bobby Krill, All City Mavs with us here in the nation. How about a bright spot with Jaden Hardy? And the offensive night that he had was pretty awesome, getting more minutes off the bench, 25. He scores 21. The three ball's working. What type of growth have you seen from him this year?
He has... I think he shined the most. You know, last night he was making some jumpers, and that was nice to see. We know he can shoot. You know, I think he's up to almost 40% on the season now, which is really, really good. But where he's been most impressive and where I've seen the most growth from him is knowing when to put the ball on the floor and make something happen. And without Luka and Kyrie right now, and to a degree without Dante Exum, you know, those are probably your three steadiest, most consistent playmakers. Those are definitely the guys that are best able to just bring the ball up the floor and get you into something. They need someone to do some dynamic stuff on offense, you know, to bend the defense, to command attention, to force help, to create open shots for other guys. And Hardy is really the only guy on the roster capable of doing that because he's got change of speed and because he's got a lot of confidence with the ball. Now, sometimes that means you're trying to do a little too much. You know, he can be a little loose, a little sloppy with his handle, and he's been, you know, he's dribbled the ball off his butt and off his foot a couple times, and he'll get his pocket picked. But I'm okay with that because he's trying to do something. He's trying to get somewhere on the floor to create an advantage for himself or for others. You know, beggars can't be choosers right now. The Mavs need someone to do something, and Hardy has embraced that challenge. And, you know, that gives me a little hope for his development as a player because he can be more than just a, I'm going to come in, try and chain together a couple cool dribbles and take a 20-footer, you know, a really heavily contested shot early in the shot clock. No, like, he can do more than that. He's even made plays, you know, found guys with lobs, which is something that has been almost completely missing from the offense this season. And he's making things happen when he's out on the floor. You can feel the game change. So, hopefully he can get a little more consistent, a little more reliable, and a little more secure with the ball while he's doing that. But that has really impressed me, and it's been something that they've really, really needed in this stretch without Luka and Kyrie.
Hey, Bobby, and you mentioned without Luka and Kyrie, are they asking Dinwiddie to do too much? Is it just? I mean, he's given you everything he has, but is it really just too much to get this done?
More.
He really is doing everything he can, that's for sure. And sometimes that is too much, too. But, I mean, look, here's the deal. He's 33 or something. He's had a bunch of surgeries, a bunch of knee injuries. He just doesn't have that burst, that explosiveness. You know, it takes him a really long time to knock a defender off balance to be able to get past him. You know, this season, he's averaging more than 5 seconds per touch. In the time when Luka and Kyrie have been out, he's averaging more than 6 seconds per touch, which is a quarter of the shot clock that he just has the ball. You know, down the stretch last night, there were 5 straight possessions where he had the ball in his hands for at least 12 seconds without doing anything. And that's just not good enough. You know, you have to get into stuff sooner. You have to, you know, the ball cannot be sticky like that. You've got to keep it moving. You've got to try and search for advantage somewhere. But on the other hand, the collection of guys that he's out there with, you know, Najee Marshall was throwing a bunch of errant passes last night. You know, Klay Thompson tried to ISO at the end of the game and got his pocket picked, and it was a disaster. You know, you're not going to run offense through P.J. Washington. He's been struggling lately. And Daniel Gafford, you can dump it down on the block to him, sure, but that's about it. You know, so there just aren't a lot of other options right now. So on the one hand, you know, yes, they're asking too much of Dinwiddie because he's really the only healthy guy that can dribble the ball right now, which is, and I'm not even trying to say that to be mean. Like, it's all their point guards are hurt, but it's kind of always been in Dinwiddie's nature to be a little bit of a ball stopper, a little bit of an ISO hunter, a little too reliant on these step back threes when he's much better at catch and shoot threes. You know, I think he's a really good and useful player still when he gives the ball up and then the ball finds him again and he can make a quick decision. But whenever he's your main guy, the head of the snake, the dude at the point of attack, it just takes too long to get into the offense. And the Mavs don't have enough dynamic players at this point to get the ball with 7 seconds left on the shot clock and create something. You know, they've got to be a little more persistent, a little more stubborn about getting into their offense early. And it feels like it's kind of in Dinwiddie's nature to avoid that. So it's been pretty frustrating to watch. But at the same time, again, he's old. He's been injured. He is on the veterans minimum. So it's like, what can you do? You know, it's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't right now.
Well, you're a beast, Bobby. Thank you so much for your time and insights. And let's go get these Thunder tomorrow. What do you say?
Let's do it. Come on, let's change the vibes. Let's save the world. Let's go.
I like our chances.
Yeah, yeah, Bobby.
Put Lively and Irving in there. Let's go get them. Thank you, Bobby. Bobby Carella, All City Dallas, at Bobby Carella on X. Thank you for making us part of your day. We got a lot of football conversation going on with this basketball team, obviously the hockey team, and before you know it, we'll be in surprise covering these Rangers. Okay, Wolchuk, it's top 10 time. Where are you taking us today?
I was having so much fun in LA Live yesterday with the conversation we were having about all the television characters. So let's do top 10 most beloved TV characters of all time. Who's your favorite? That's next on the Nation.